First and foremost, I would like to thank Allah. Glorious and exalted is He, for His great blessings upon me. And I am very grateful to Him for blessing this channel, as He has turned my small and stumbling work into a platform that hosts some of the world's leading scholars and experts, to the immense benefit of us all, giving us a better and more informed understanding of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. We have produced over 800 videos with over 27 million views, alhamdulillah. The Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace, said, "He who does not thank the people is not thankful to Allah." And so I would like to express my deep gratitude and thanks to all the faithful Blogging Theology viewers and listeners over the past 2 years, and my incredibly generous Patreon supporters. None of this would be possible without you. You all help keep me motivated and inspired. I also want to thank the amazing guests I have been so privileged to interview, the many distinguished Islamic scholars, the Christian theologians and eminent biblical scholars, and at least one outspoken atheist. My thanks and great esteem go to my co-presenter, Bassam Zawadi, and my talented and highly competent producer, Afan. Also, a huge thank you to Ahmed and Adam for their invaluable advice and support. Now, there have been some notable moments on Blogging Theology. One of the most remarkable interviews, I think, was with the Reverend Professor Keith Ward. Now, he's a priest of the Church of England and the UK's most senior Christian theologian, who was Regius Professor of Divinity at the University of Oxford until his retirement. In a now famous interview, I asked him, as a Christian theologian, what he thought of the Prophet Muhammad. And this is what he said.
What do you, as a Christian theologian, make of the prophethood of Muhammad? Do you have any thoughts about that?
I know yes, lots of thoughts about that. I do think that Muhammad was a genuine prophet of God, and that he was raised up by God, and that the Quran is in some way an expression of God's revelation. So I do think that.
Right. It just occurred to me, you acknowledge that Muhammad is a prophet of God. In your knowledge of your colleagues in Christian theology globally, how widespread is that view, do you think, that Muhammad was a prophet of God amongst your academic colleagues who are Christian theologians?
I think it's almost universally accepted. I mean, as you know, even I suppose Roman Catholics are, on the whole, more conservative than I would be as an Episcopalian. But they now officially believe that Islam is a revelation of God. That's Vatican II, an official declaration. So I think that my colleagues would undoubtedly say that. I mean, I know lots of Christians wouldn't, but...
No, well, that's why I meant theologians, particularly, that those who are...
Theologians, I think, would all accept. But, you know, if you're asking the question, how influential are theologians on most Christians, the answer is not in the slightest.
There's some new input, anyway, but that's interesting. That will come as quite a revelation and quite a shocking thing to say, that in your experience, most of your academic Christian theological colleagues who are not Catholics would actually see Muhammad as a prophet of God.
Yes, I think that's true.
That's remarkable. That I didn't know, actually. It was a genuine question of mine. That's interesting.
The most watched video on Blogging Theology is entitled King Charles III's Attraction Towards Islam, with over 600,000 views. And that was filmed about 5 months ago. Now, the timing of this video was originally very difficult. The Queen had just died, and I wanted to do a video about how the Prince of Wales, now King Charles, had said some amazingly insightful and intelligent things about Islam over the years. Now, a trusted advisor told me to hold the video back as the nation was officially in mourning, and it would not look good to post a video at this time. But after just a few days, we saw Charles talking to crowds outside Buckingham Palace, and I thought, that's it. He is out in public, so surely I can do a video now. So I published it at just the right time, as it turns out. I want to share a part of the video again, because King Charles demonstrates how modern Europe is profoundly indebted to Islamic civilization, and that Islam has been an essential part of Europe's history since the 8th century. On the 8th of September 2022, on the death of his mother, Elizabeth II, Queen of the United Kingdom, Prince Charles became King Charles III. I want to do a video discussing the remarkable appreciation King Charles has for Islam. I am not here to endorse or criticise the monarchy. I am just highlighting the refreshingly positive writings and statements about Islam made by the new king when he was Prince of Wales. I think it is a matter of considerable public interest to know these facts. In a speech entitled Islam and the West, given at the Oxford Centre for Islamic Studies, he said, and I quote, "It is odd in many ways that misunderstandings between Islam and the West should persist. For what binds our two worlds together is so much more powerful than that which divides us. Muslims, Christians, and Jews are all peoples of the book." And here Charles uses a Quranic expression. "Islam and Christianity share a common monotheistic vision, a belief in one God, in the transience of our earthly life, in our accountability for our actions, and in the assurance of life to come. We share many key values in common: respect for knowledge, for justice, compassion towards the poor and underprivileged, the importance of family life, respect for parents. Honour thy father and mother is a Quranic precept too." Ladies and gentlemen, Charles continues, "if there is much misunderstanding in the West about the nature of Islam, there is also much ignorance about the debt our own culture and civilization owe to the Muslim world. It is a failure which stems, I think, from the straitjacket of history we have inherited. The medieval Islamic world, from Central Asia to the shores of the Atlantic, was a world where scholars and men of learning flourished. But because we have tended to see Islam as the enemy of the West, as an alien culture, society, and system of belief, we have tended to ignore or erase its great relevance to our own history. For example, we have underestimated the importance of 800 years of Islamic society and culture in Spain between the 8th and the 15th centuries. The contribution of Muslim Spain to the preservation of classical learning during the Dark Ages, that time of intellectual and cultural decline in the West, and to the first flowerings of the Renaissance, has long been recognised. But Islamic Spain, said Charles, was much more than a mere larder where Hellenistic knowledge was kept for later consumption by the emerging Western world. not only did Muslim Spain gather and preserve the intellectual content of ancient Greek and Roman civilization, it also interpreted and expanded upon that civilization and made a vital contribution of its own in so many fields of human endeavor. In science, astronomy, mathematics, algebra, itself an Arabic word, law, history, medicine, pharmacology, optics, agriculture, architecture, theology, and music. Islam nurtured and preserved the quest for learning. In the words of the tradition, the ink of the scholar is more sacred than the blood of the martyr. Cordoba in the 10th century was by far the most civilized city of Europe. We know of lending libraries in Spain at the time King Alfred was making terrible blunders with the culinary arts in this country. It is said that the 400,000 volumes in its ruler's library amounted to more books than all the libraries of the rest of Europe put together. That was made possible because the Muslim world acquired from China the skill of making paper more than 400 years before the rest of non-Muslim Europe. Many of the traits on which modern Europe prides itself came to it from Muslim Spain. Diplomacy, free trade, open borders, the techniques of academic research, of anthropology, etiquette, fashion, alternative medicine, hospitals, all came from this great city of cities. Medieval Islam was a religion of remarkable tolerance for its time. Now, this is an insight that Charles makes, which is rarely appreciated in the West, and I'm glad he is aware of it. Medieval Islam was a religion of remarkable tolerance for its time, he says, allowing Jews and Christians the right to practice their inherited beliefs and setting an example which was not, unfortunately, copied for many centuries in the West. The surprise, ladies and gentlemen, is the extent to which Islam has been a part of Europe for so long. So Charles here is saying how crucial it is we understand Islam is a part of European history. It's not kind of an alien other from immigrants. It's part of the intrinsic history of Europe itself. First in Spain, he says, then in the Balkans. And the extent to which it has contributed so much towards the civilization, which we all too think of wrongly as entirely Western, i.e. non-Muslim, Islam is part of our past and present in all fields of human endeavor. It has helped create modern Europe. It is part of our own inheritance, not a thing apart. More than this, said Charles, Islam can teach us today. So he said, this is the future king saying what Islam can teach us as a non-Muslim country, England, Britain. Islam can teach us today a way of understanding and living in the world which Christianity itself is poorer for having lost. At the heart of Islam, and this is a great insight that Charles is making, I think, at the heart of Islam is its preservation of an integral view of the universe. Islam refuses to separate man and nature, religion and science, mind and matter, and has preserved a metaphysical and unified view of ourselves and the world around us. I just want to mention some of the star guests we have been privileged to host on Blogging Theology. For a start, there have been three Zaytuna College scholars. Dr. Alia Tai, of course, an extraordinary polymath. He's done many, many videos, hugely popular with the viewers and myself. Perhaps his most watched video, which I highly recommend if you haven't seen it, is called Jesus Was Not Crucified, The Evidence, with Dr. Ali Atai. The other scholar is Dr. Abdullah Ali. Now, he's an expert on Islamic law and ethics. He's done a lot of videos. Do watch those if you've not seen them. And then there's a new person, a fellow Englishman and a rising star, Hassan Spiker, who I met recently in Zaytuna. He has produced some amazing work, written work, and the videos are really worth watching. He's very popular with the students at Zaytuna, I discovered. Another star is Dr. Louis Fatui, and he is such a thorough, methodical, fascinating scholar. Perhaps his most popular video is entitled The Miraculous Quran and the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. A fascinating video. I do recommend that. And then, of course, there's Imam Tom from New York State. Now, he's done lots of videos. He's a regular guest on the channel. Very, very popular. I think one of the most popular series he's done is ongoing, basically where he discusses a book called The Impossible State by Professor Wilder Hallack from Columbia University. Very fascinating series. Then there's a chap called Justin Parrott. He's done a number of videos, very careful scholar. And perhaps his most popular video is entitled Concubinage, Rape and Sexual Slavery in Islam. Definitely worth a watch if you've not seen it. Another star scholar is Sheikh Hamza Karamali, who's currently living in Istanbul. And he's doing such brilliant work popularizing Islam's distinctive argument for God's existence. It's a brilliant argument. It's found in the Islamic sources. And do watch the video of that name on Blogging Theology, The Argument for God's Existence. And another star scholar is Professor Naoki Yamamoto, who's a Japanese professor currently living in Istanbul. He's a convert to Islam. And his video entitled Chinese Islam is really fascinating. Do watch that if you haven't. Then there's Imran Mullah. And he's a young history student from Cambridge University. But he's no ordinary undergraduate. He is a published journalist. He puts out the most erudite and readable articles. Very, very brilliant young man. He's going to go places. And he's done a number of videos on Blogging Theology. I'm very grateful that he has. Imran Mullah. Do Google him and watch his videos. And then there's Sakhalin Chowdhury. Now he's at the other university, the other ancient university, Oxford. And he's a physicist and a Muslim. And he's been an honoured guest twice on the channel. The first video was looking at issues of science and faith. Very much worth watching if you haven't. Another honoured and star guest is Professor Peter Adamson. And he teaches Arabic and Islamic philosophy at the University of Munich in Germany. And he's immensely popular generally in the world. He's got a fantastic website and is one of the most esteemed scholars in the West of Arabic philosophy. His video on BT is called What is Islamic Philosophy? He's done several, actually, but this is the most popular one so far. And then we have unexpected successes. By far and away, the most unexpected and massive success story is a video produced by Dr. Carl Sharif El Tubki. He's from Brandeis University in America, one of the Ivy League universities. And he produced a video entitled Islam and LGBTQ, Gender, Sexuality, Morality and Identity. Now, this, I was told, you know, when I started BT, you know, an important rule, Paul, remember, never to do long videos, you know, maybe 10, 20 minutes, but not longer than that. People will not watch them. And for one reason or another, I ignore that advice. And I'm glad I did, because Professor Tubki's video is over 4 hours long, but it's had over 120,000 views, which is phenomenal. And the quality of the content is excellent. If you want to know all about the history of LGBTQ, what's going on, why it's impacting the West at the moment, and what the Islamic response is, this video is the gold standard, I'm told, online. So if you haven't seen that, do watch it. And lots of slides, very interesting and accessible introduction. Another big unexpected success was a video produced by Dr. Michael Millerman. He's got his PhD from the University of Toronto, and he's probably the West's leading expert on Alexander Dugin, sometimes known as Putin's brain. Anyway, he graciously came on the channel and did a talk on Alexander Dugin, and the video is entitled "The Most Dangerous Philosopher in the World," and that's how he's perceived in the West, anyway. And it's a fantastic video. Dr. Millerman has a great ability to communicate clearly and interestingly complex philosophical ideas. It's always a pleasure to listen to, and inshallah, he will be a guest again in the future. Another star scholar is another young guy, Mobeen Vaid, immensely talented young scholar from the States. I had the privilege of meeting him in Chicago several years ago. And he's done a number of videos. One of them is called "Can Islam Accommodate Homosexual Acts?" and another video called "Islam and Transgenderism. What Does the Sharia Say?" He's done several others, but those two are particularly popular and really meet a need in terms of understanding the Islamic perspective on these pressing social issues. I also had the privilege of hosting Dr. William Lane Craig. You can watch that. And Dr. Tim Winter, also known as Sheikh Abdul Hakim Murad, who's a professor at Cambridge University. And that video with Tim Winter has been immensely popular. And it's a very, very classy, quality act, really. He's such a brilliant scholar, always very interesting to listen to, very wise, very erudite. I do recommend you watch that video if you haven't seen it. And then another star guest, Adnan Rashid, historian from London, a friend of mine. He's done a number of videos. Perhaps his most popular one so far is "Why the Quran is Remarkable." Why the Quran is remarkable. And he goes through a whole list of reasons, rather good reasons, why the Quran is an extraordinary book. And then another star guest, is Professor Joel Hayward. Now, he's one of the world's leading military historians, a totally brilliant man. He's produced a new book, which hopefully, inshallah, I will talk to him about soon. His most popular video on blogging theology so far is "Questions About the Prophet Muhammad, Upon Whom Be Peace," with Professor Joel Hayward. A really brilliant, classy contribution, a couple of hours long, lots of hits. "Questions About the Prophet Muhammad, Upon Whom Be Peace." Now, my apologies to anyone whom I have not included on this list, which is already very long. There are many other people I could have mentioned. This is just a small selection. But thank you very much for your time. Until next time.